Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Had some drama. We've had some drama and we've got some great stuff to chat about as well, and some weird flexes, and we can discuss some 1 week bans to get off our chest as well. And obviously enormous matches this week. The two big ones, of course, being Chelsea versus Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final and Queen's Park Rangers against Rotherham at Loftus Road.
QPR, eh?
A week's a long time, Flav. A week's a long time.
But what was you saying last time? Last week, you were saying.
We can discuss my rant from last week. That's fine. But I feel like we should get a bit of drama sorted out and out there.
What drama?
Well, the drama is people are upset. People are upset about two things: the horns and the thumbnails. They are not happy with us. Well, with me in particular. Flav made it very clear. It sent me a message very clearly. He said, "You sure about these thumbnails?"
My only point was that I couldn't find the pod. I didn't know which one was what, so I had to go through all three or four. Not that was a problem. I saw lots of activity on your channel. Yeah, but I couldn't tell what one was the pod. And also, the horns, I can understand the logic of removing the horns only because this doesn't suit YouTube. We could put the horns in midway, right? Could we?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, okay, right. So, there was lots of comments on. People don't like the thumbnails because they haven't got your face in it, so they don't know it's you, so they don't click on it. Now, I'm intrigued to know, are more people clicking because it's you or leaving it because it's you? That's what I'm intrigued to find out.
Yeah.
But regardless, they can all piss off, right? Because...
Which ones?
I think we'll bring your face back. People need to see your lovely face. I think it's important. Okay, but the horns.
Well, I just thought we was going in the right direction when you changed the thumbnails. There was the kind of faces were looking in off camera. I thought that looks good. That looks actually quite original. Then suddenly I was just ousted.
Yeah, but, well, we're just trying different things, and I think the important thing to say to you all is that. Well, no, I don't think it has worked, if I'm honest. But that's the whole point. The whole point is constant. Experimentation and testing, but the one thing that we will never do is not listen to the Jaffinators, the Moisties, okay? We're listening and we'll change. And do you know what? Fucking horns are coming back. Fucking what? Horns are coming back. I don't. Because look, Pavel Andreev said, "Oh, keep the horns, guys, please. It's one of my favourite parts." About a couple of years ago, I was feeling down. The weather was dark and sad, and then Jaffin comes up, and the horns start singing, and the sun shines through the clouds. It felt so good, like I was finally home from the cold. And the Teddy Master said, "This is the more panicking comment. If the horns go, I will never watch this podcast again." And it would be the saddest moment. This has been the saddest moment of my year so far. So we'll bring back the horns and we'll bring back Flav's face, okay?
And your face.
Yeah.
Not just my face.
Chuck my face under. No, it's just literally just going to be your mush. Slap bang in the middle of it. So that's sorted, okay?
Yeah.
Because I don't want people thinking we don't care or we're not listening. And we are doing both.
I've got a question, Jim.
Yes, mate. Go on, mate. You seem happy. You seem happier than normal. Has something happened in the last 24 hours that's made you happier than normal? Something that gets your juices going, Gets your ball sack just gently coming up.
See what you're trying to do here, Jim. And I can't say yes, right? I can't say yes. I'm not happy. I'm middling, right? This has lifted me somewhat.
What's lifted you?
Well, just, you know, it just keeps happening, doesn't it? And that's the thing is how...
What keeps happening, Flav? What keeps happening?
Well, look, there's just a track record of abject bottle job. And I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm not saying it's even a thing in football. Bottle job is a term that should be left 5 or 6 years ago.
Sure.
But and it's not even about Arsenal. I'm not attacking Arsenal. I'm not attacking their fan base. I am going to talk about their fan base shortly.
Okay.
But I'm not even talking about. I'm just talking about Arteta. I mean, is he? And I might be proven wrong, Jim. I'm not saying we've got. There's a lot of opportunity for Arteta to prove us wrong. Mm. But every opportunity he's had thus far, he's proved us right. So, Jim,
go on.
They've got to win the league, haven't they? Because if they don't win the league or the Champions League, then what is Arteta? What is he?
I think. Are you saying could they bottle it all?
I didn't think of it like that way.
Ooh, the cheeky spin on the could they?
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not bringing that up again. It's too raw because obviously we said that at the beginning, and obviously we fucking couldn't because look at us. Anyway. So, I mean, it's not. So let's move on from the fact that this isn't a great start, right? I just want to move on to something. They've lost 1-0 against a good side, Porto side, that's beaten many big sides in the Champions League already. It's not as an embarrassing result as some Arsenal fans would have you believe. And the reaction to this result has been, in my eyes, unbelievable. I get all fans can be reactionary. I have a penchant for a reaction.
Well, you did just there. If we can, like, rewind back 30 seconds, there was a sort of a odious disdain in your voice that you'd sort of been let down by Spurs, even though they, like, you were a car crash. Last year, you were a car crash. So
No,
go on. Jim,
don't explain yourself. Can't group me on it because that's not true, is it? That my position right now. And Tottenham's journey this season is very different. And they haven't let us down anyway. We're building something and everything's great.
Just a tiny little baby, aren't you?
Just a baby. Can't shout at a baby.
Yeast. You're yeast. You know, you're set to rise. We are yet to rise at the moment.
This is what Tottenham are. You're yeast, right? Yeah. And we've got the wheat, and we've got the flour, and we've got to put it all together.
And Ange's belly, Ange's mind and belly and heart and soul is the oven, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we are. Whereas Arsenal have been yeast. They've been wheat and all that shit, right?
Now they've improved. I don't even know what that means, but they've been put in a drawer for three seasons now to prove. So there's that. Because if you are making bread and I've done all the stuff with the yeast and the dough and you've chucked it in the oven, you chucked it in the oven? What are you doing? Let that prove. He did the yeast stage, like with you.
Yeah.
And then they were like, so are we going to win trophies? No. Slap.
They passed the proving stage.
One season later, they come back and they go, wow, that looked bouncy. Should we pop that in the oven? Yeah, we could pop that. No, prove it longer. And again.
Can't keep proving it.
Right. Now they need to prove.
Now, they're taking it out. And if they don't win anything this season, then it's sinking. No, look, you've gone through all
Ben
the
Bowman
process.
Says he's got a yeast infection. Would you agree with that?
Very good.
Has Arteta got a yeast infection?
He's good. Look, but I want to go back to the reaction.
Okay.
To the Arsenal fans to this result. Like, I had a little look just out of curiosity. I didn't have much to do last night because obviously Spurs aren't playing European football this year.
Good point.
I went over to Arsenal's Reddit. It was insane, the reactions. Like, everyone gets reactionary to a result that they don't enjoy. But it's
Reddit. But I'm surprised. Is Reddit a place of chaos? I thought Reddit was a place of sort
less
of
so,
truth.
No, it is. No, yeah.
Because you got your upvotes and stuff, no?
I don't know what's going on at Arsenal's one, but that's what I read last night, and they're losing it, right? Look at where you are. If you're losing it right now, what is the point of following football? And this extends to everybody who cannot take a bad result happening to their football club without losing their shits completely. And Jim, your attitude to QPR was very different this last week than it is this week. I'm not saying you're knee jerky, but I'm just saying we're all potentially guilty of it.
Jerking all over the bloody place this weekend because the boys are fucking back. Come on,
James. Arsenal have scored 21 goals in 5 games. They are flying. They had a little dip,
What's the truth, Flav? They didn't register a shot on target.
Yeah,
against Porto. First time this season.
Yeah. But what is the truth? The truth is about where they should be, third in the Premier League. In their head, when things are going well, they talk themselves up. They get themselves into a situation. They believe every single one of their players is world class. You've heard them. You're doing it.
There's proof. Go check out the video. There is proof that Saka is better than Foden. It's there in black and white.
Is it statistical proof?
It's statistical proof. It's a really good video. It's a really good video, and it's not done well because obviously fucking Arsenal lost. So you know, if you are an Arsenal fan, feeling like, oh, are we good or not, or is Saka good or not? That's the one. The one thing I think is fascinating with everyone, right? In every walk of life, especially any kind of public figure. And I don't know if we've actually ever spoken about this properly, because it is such a thing for me, because during my career, like in TV, it worked in entertainment, and you saw this sort of cycle of like, you're the guy. And then I'm a bit saturated with you. Okay, I'm bored of you now. Right. And I just would see it and I would see the desperation of these TV stars or these reality stars. And I was always like, oh, that's scary. And that's led to a lot of therapy that I've had. But coming back to football, the Saka thing is really interesting for me, that the desire, it's almost lazy desire to pick apart Bukayo Saka at the moment, I find bizarre.
Who's picking him apart? Who's attacking people? This is sort of he's golden child in my eyes. That's what I see.
Well, I guess the question again: what's the truth? Was Saka not as good as everyone was saying he was, or if he was, why is everyone like desperate for his downfall now? There's been this tipping point with him like recently, and he's like clearly like a nice lad, incredible footballer, good professional.
It's
and it feels like people are a bit after. I don't get it.
It's what we do in England. They build them up and we tear them down.
We do, don't we? We absolutely rip them to shreds.
We did the same to Rashford. Tear them up, give them a boost, help them.
Here's a question.
When they let us down in World Cup finals, tear them down.
Yeah. Bring them down. Rooney, bring him down. Has there ever been a person that never got brought down? Because if we actually drill down on that, that's really interesting. Because if there isn't, if you can't find someone who at some point was just utterly thought of as trash in their career, then it's inevitable for everyone. Which can probably, if you're a professional footballer listening to this, and I'm sure there's many, you can go, do you know what? This isn't reality when I'm in my bad space. This is just people getting bored.
Do you know who thinks he's pretty fire retardant? Is Southgate. He's got a lot of stick.
What? What do you mean? He gets hammered all the time.
Absolutely. But it just doesn't seem to affect him. That's what I'm talking
about.
They're setting fire to his house and he's just sitting inside it going, this is fine. And you got to respect the man for it.
Yeah, totally. What were the Arsenal fans saying then? On Reddit.
Arteta, he just doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to do it, does he? You look at the money we spent and we've got that sort of thing.
What's this? Who's that bloke? He's like he sort of drew his line in the sand, if that's the right phrase, probably a Samism, with like Arteta's not the guy, and then has had to sort of just like write, what's his name? He's horrible. Yeah. He's like not just a horrible, obnoxious.
I know who you're talking about.
You don't want to tell me his name. All right, don't give me the option. But I bet he's buzzing, isn't he? Isn't that what a weird existence? Delighted that your team's lost.
But you create a niche for yourself as a content creator, and that is your that's the world you've that's the ditch you've dug, and that's what you have to live in for a bit. So
do you want to pull up the thread of, because do you know what we're getting to? Late February is we can see on the horizon sort of bottle job conversation. This is the time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But regardless of what happens this season, they've not bottled it. They've not bottled it. Are they, were they favourites to win the Champions League? No, they've not bottled it. The league was going to be very difficult for anybody to win, and they could still do it. So why even have that conversation right now? Why not look at it as if, God forbid, and seriously, I'd rather chuck myself out of this fucking window. But if I was an Arsenal fan, there was nothing negative to be said about how Arsenal were playing this season. You've gone through a little bit of a bad patch. Mm. You've got a home leg against Porto that you will win and go through. But yet you can't cope with a disappointing result, James, can you? They can't cope with a disappointing result. The leg isn't over. They're not out. If they lose at home, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. I think so. What you're really saying is, don't back down. Double down. It's a time to double down.
Really,
you're an Arsenal fan. You've got to double down right now. It's a great little... I look great yesterday.
What are you double down in? They look fantastic. What are you double down on? Well, get on with it.
They didn't look great against Porto, though. They didn't look great against Porto. And it's a knockout, isn't it? That's the difference.
Yeah, but they've got one more game. But it's,
So that's what I'm saying. This is a good point. This is a good time to double down. This is a good time to double down. Yeah, double down. Because I said to Craig yesterday, and it's a great kind of example of it, I guess. It doesn't happen often, but it was nice. Craig went, have you seen all the injuries for Liverpool? And me and my mate Craig had a couple of drinks last night. And he said, I've seen the injuries for Liverpool. And I was like, yeah, bad. And then he went, Luton are winning. Luton are going to win. And they went, Liverpool win. Liverpool will be fine. We've seen this.
Luton,
like, I know they got a draw against Liverpool earlier in the season, but Liverpool will be fine. And then it was like bang, 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 bang. I was like, I look really good, which I was really chuffed about. But so if you're an Arsenal fan, now's the time, isn't it? Yeah. Like you say, home leg against a... I think the thing to say is that Arsenal should be progressing. They should be... Like, not winning the Champions League is a different thing to this tie alone. If you don't make it through this tie alone, and it's not like, oh, it's the Europa League, but we're really concentrating on the league. Yeah, but in terms of the bottling element, it is, though. But if they lose the second leg, 100%.
But that, they still have that leg.
yeah, exactly. So now's not the time.
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad. I'd happily see them infighting and having a whole good old miserable time of it all. But it seems to be this, with the advent of social media, football fans cannot or seem incapable now of being able to handle small points of disappointment. And it just shows a lack of fabric.
So okay,
you can't take the defense, and it's not a lot of it comes from being influenced by YouTube and by YouTubers who have to have a reaction to results for views, and be, you know, as emotional in that moment as possible for views. But I long for the day, and I'm getting long in the tooth now, especially in this industry, where there was no social media, and you just go down the pub and talk it out over a couple of pints.
I love the thought of you going, game's finished, turns it off, leaves, gets his coat, and it cuts to him, you walking into the pub. Hey! And as the Arsenal fans looking at Flav, it's like a scene from EastEnders, he's going, Flav, don't. Let's just sit down and talk about it. Thing is, though, what I will say, there's a bit of hypocrisy here in the sense that you've watched that game, then you've gone on to Reddit and you've looked for specific comments. No,
that's my job. Yeah. That's my prerogative. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's up to me. You know, if I can't enjoy these things, what am I into football for? I just think overall, I think there needs to be a shift in mentality with football fans when reacting to single defeats, and no less half a leg.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Is there a sort of trauma from the last couple of years? I think that's a conversation we had earlier in the season was, if Arsenal fall apart again, now they haven't done that. I don't expect them to do that. If you look at the metrics, like their expected goals difference, which I think is a very important one, is really strong. Like they don't concede many chances. They score a solid amount, not the same amount as Liverpool, Man City, but not far off. So like overall, the difference between those two is really, really strong, and they are miles ahead of the other two when it comes to both together. But if they do it again, because I think the thing that you can put out there as a conversation, and I agree, you've got to double down right now and go, look, we're a really good team here. We're going to go and beat Porto. But they, in a very high profile game, and part of this is because of time, because it's only had the first half of the season. Now, they've come through difficult times in terms, a high pressure game in terms of Liverpool and Manchester City and won both of those. But they are the first games in the season, not the second games of the season. This next 4 months or so, you need to see a clear example of this team under extreme die or live, this terrible phrase, but like pressure, and you need to see them come through it. Like that needs to happen. So them going out to Porto That's now the game. The second leg's the game.
Yeah, of course. And obviously that puts pressure on league games that happen after it, and it has a fallout of not been having a comfortable first leg performance. Get it? Mm. I do. So what you're saying, Jim? If he fails, what do you do with him? The answer isn't sack Arteta.
So what I think is really... Of course not.
At the end of the season, if they haven't won the league and have been knocked out of the Champions League, you just carry on, right?
You just carry on, but I think that the concern would then become... So obviously Mick Beale lost his job this week. He's had a tough week, Mick Beale. And actually, I'm half thinking of reaching out to him because I'd like to have a conversation with him about it. Because there's people... Obviously... QPR are very rarely in the news, and the Mick Beale thing was a thing, and obviously I really liked him, and then he left, right? And what I found really interesting about Mick Beale, because I said on this podcast, I said, I think he has the capability, I'm going to take the word out, I think he could be an England manager. I really think that. But what is fascinating about any manager now is, so the average amount of days a manager gets is 628 days or something, which is what's that, less than 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And Mick Beale, his stock was so high, so high, right? And then he makes one wrong turn. And I know this suits me because I'm the QPR fan, but it's there for you. Taking the Rangers job was a mistake, I would put forward in his career. And from that point, to then getting the Sunderland job again in an awkward position, a bit like Rooney as well, was on the overlap this week, and he took over for John Eustace, who was liked. Mowbray was liked at Sunderland. Both got kind of what felt like unfairly sacked, and then Mick Beale's come into that one, and Rooney came into that one. What I'm getting at is, as good as being or bad as being a coach or manager you are, the sort of PR around you and the ability to sort of keep the group with you is so huge. So the thing with Arteta for me is that 3 years on the spin, it would be interesting, and I'm not sure it would happen, but it'd be interesting to see if he would lose any kind of grip on that dressing room. Because he has got such a grip on that dressing room. But when the sort of data starts to sort of stack up, and then there's these new narratives that you can sort of hang on to and throw at each other, which is what basically happens these days.
Mm.
If they bottle it again, like that could be the beginning of a slope.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I'm just putting it out there. I think it's good.
You don't know until you know, but there's a finite. You what actually do you mean? Like, you generally a manager has a find out about a period of a club, and you said, you know, mainly they get sacked, right, which is why they last under 2 years. But good managers last a lot longer, and you know, you've got three in the Premier League at the moment, and Arteta in his first job looks as cast iron a manager in terms of his position or at the club. Is that the word? He's just got, there's no, at the moment, there's just no way where he loses his job at Arsenal. And for him to be 5 years into that project and it's been his first job, that's an incredible achievement already.
Yeah, so true.
For a novice manager, that is insanely good. And very frustrating. But my point is that, I don't know what my point is. I just think if they get knocked out, it's not the end of the world. It's part of the process that they're in. They may never win the league. They may never win the Champions League. They've spent enough so that they should. But you're in the conversation. And if other things go your way, you may do. If Liverpool and Man City fall off, they might have horrendous ends to the season and you'll win it.
I'm amazed at how kind you're being. I think you're being really kind. This is weird. Is anyone else finding this weird? Why am I sort of critiquing Arsenal and Flav's kind of backing them up? I don't get it.
Because I'm not. I can't believe the reaction to 1-1 defeat. I cannot believe what I was reading. I was like, if this was Spurs, I'd be like backflipping. I'd be like, yeah, we're doing in the second leg. We're going to go and win the league. This is amazing. What an amazing. Look at all the investment and the plan. Look at the club and how well they've planned to get to this position. Like, I hate their guts. James, you know this, right?
Yeah.
You can't ignore the progress they've made over the last 5 years and how patient they've been with Arteta in those first 2 years of underperformance.
Absolutely.
And all of this, including getting knocked out of the Champions League, if they do, is a part of football. It's not a big deal. It isn't a be-all and end-all for Arteta. But the fans are behaving like it is. And everyone needs to just fucking grow up a little bit.
Flav's sweet, sweet Gunners, says Thomas Martin. Flav is a gooner, says.
Can we just go back to McBill for a second?
Can I just say, by the way, if you want to become a patron and join us for the pod, we're literally looking at the chat right now and we will see the funny stuff that you're saying. Ben Bowman's on fire this week, by the way. But yeah, so all of you guys, thank you to our patrons who are with us right now. I see you all. But if you want to become a patron and join us, we do a mailbag each week where we often reveal stuff that we probably shouldn't, which I don't think happened actually even this week.
A lot on last week. No, it did. Of course it did.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you want to be a part of that, then get involved.
Mick Bill had a burner account that he used to promote pro-Mick Bill propaganda, according to the Daily Mail. It was alleged that he had this link. Do you know anyone that, let me give you a quick heads up. If you have two Twitter accounts, it's really easy to find out if it's the same person. There is a website that exists that can tell you how many linked accounts. So you've got someone being horrible. So for the case in point is there was this person on Tottenham Twitter saying something who was relatively, you know, had his ideas, but it was quite, the way he delivered it was quite harsh. And then he'd created this burner account, which was completely unrelated, which was like super harsh.
Right.
So you did a check and you just, there's like an ID that correlates between the two. So don't ever think of doing it, Jim, if you're pro Jim.
No, I haven't. I've, true, which does sound like something I do. But no, I think I'm all right. I think I've got my family with me now, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away too much, but I've, in my time in the industry, I've been aware of someone I was working with who was utilizing a burner account.
Really?
Yeah. And actually, I was like, am I crazy? Or like, and then I sort of spoke to someone I trusted and they went, oh yeah, that's the burner account, right? And I was like, right, all right, yeah, right? And he's like, yeah, obviously. I was like, oh, okay, right. Yeah.
But what does that show about his insecurity that he feels like he needs to go on social media to create another narrative?
Can I shock you?
A lot about him.
I was probably not going to shock you because you know what I'm like. But I was like, straight away, I was just like, oh, okay, leave him alone. That's terrible, isn't it? No, I was like, oh, you're a snake from a distance whilst things are going well for you. But like, all right, he's had enough now. Like, give Beale a break. I do feel sorry. That's what I mean. I do feel sorry for him. I think he's a really good coach. I really, really do. But he has he's sort of backed himself a little bit too much. But he's also, it shows he's someone who's savvy. Sorry, mate.
Which coaching and the ability to manage relationships and how you manage yourself are two different things. Your ability to coach is it could be second to none. Man management and
he's had outrageous success as well, like as a coach, you know, for what he did. He did well at Villa and he did well at so well at Rangers.
As a head coach or as a number two, you think where you're out of the limelight, where you don't have the manager controls the relationships. The manager can, you know, in that instance.
I think you need distance. I think that would be the thing that it'd be interesting. He's always spoken about, I'm on the grass manager. Like I like to be there coaching them. And like when you hear people talk about, there are different kinds of managers that say, like when Gary Neville and Keane are talking about Fergie, that he was always sort of quite far. Like it was a very clever model actually Fergie made, where he had, Brian Kidd. Was it Brian Kidd? Brian Kidd. And then he had McLaren, and then he had Quiroz, and then he had whoever he had. But like, so you had new voices because your voice becomes boring. So he's able to keep that distance. And I think that distance leads to a sort of an element of fear, which is quite clever, which I've heard about Postecoglou. It sounds like Postecoglou does that at times as well. But yeah, the burner account is it shows someone who he's obviously, he was savvy enough to kind of be building a bit of a podcast called Player ID, I think it was. But then he thought he would be kind of able to get away with it. And I don't know. I think there's something quite human about it. But the pylon is, I get why it's come out, why it has. But I don't know. I've got a pang of feeling sorry for him, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I understand that.
It has gone so, it's amazing what a year can do or whatever it is. Like will he get another job? Like, or the trajectory that his career was going on is now just so different, right?
He'll have to go down.
Double down. Some top comments. This is interesting, because just while I talk about managers. Ryan Cook, 53 likes on this. I like this. It costs money to fire a manager and bring in a new one, and all the clubs are finally worrying about FFP, so they can't. Sam Schofield then replied, that's what I reckon too. But also, the whole shift towards directors, specialists, and line coaches. Also, apart from Roy and Moyes, and obviously Roy's left his post, not long for this world, surely. I think he means within football, hopefully. Ten Hag and Poch are arguably the only sackable managers. You can't look at the spends and conclude that they haven't underachieved, but maybe those clubs can't afford to sack them. Whereas Moyes has done brilliantly, but it does feel toxic.
Will you also see managers perform better because they're given more time? They're less reactionary. Like there's one, it's different down the bottom of the league where relegation costs more. You know, the impact of relegation is so significant that FFP is almost like a secondary consideration. But in terms of like in Chelsea's position, the best thing for them, as I said, didn't I? I weirdly find myself backing Pochettino and thinking Chelsea are not as bad as everyone says they are. Do you remember me saying that, Jim?
Yeah, mate, they've turned a corner. They have turned a corner.
I'm not saying what that ceiling is, but there would have been other managers, other owners, i.e. Abramovich, that probably would have got rid of Pochettino. Mm. And maybe giving managers more time isn't the end of the world. I mean, we discussed it last week, Jim, when we said you should have to lock in a manager for your entire season, regardless. You've made him as a sign-in.
But that is interesting to see if that will be the case sort of moving forward. I think you're right. When you're sort of down the bottom and there's the problem of relegation, what one thing you have in your armory is the little like turbo boost button of a new manager. And so that's why you see that happen so often. That's why I think it's interesting. Say like Vincent Kompany at Burnley, it would be interesting if you did that. He's got so much credit in the bank that they're just kind of sticking with him.
What do you think that happens there?
I think, if you think, I've got Mick Beale in my head, but if you think about how long you've got as a career as a manager, say Kompany stays there for 7 years, right? And they go up and down a couple of times, but they're playing great football all the time. And then they bounce back up. Like, you know, Leicester, Southampton, Leeds are in a strong position
and
now.
Eddie Howe goes down and up with Bournemouth as well.
Sean Dyche did. No, Eddie Howe just left once he relegated. Jumped ship. Shame.
He was there a long time though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he'd been there ages. But so Company, if you really zoom out, Burnley fans could go, look, we're going to go down, but we've got the parachute payments and we're playing far more enjoyable football. Let's see this as a 3-4 year thing with these young players and make sure, and if we come back a bit like, so Bournemouth kind of did that. They went down, but kind of kept quite a young sort of base. And then when they came back up, they had a lot of players like Solanke, who kind of needed that year in the championship to kind of become a man and get the confidence. And then when he went back into the championship, he was kind of good to go. So then, that might be the smart solution with Burnley. I think if they wanted to stay in the league this year, they needed to change the way they were playing a bit. Like it's now clear that that's not worked. And I have a general theory that when you get promoted, you have to have physicality because you're not going to you're not going to hurt teams with too much quality generally. Like if you look at Brentford and Brighton, what they've done when they go up is they get Chris Hughton in or Thomas Frank and they are smart. They are incredibly resolute. They have big players. They have that physicality. And then there's a softening over time to bring in more quality and to sort of take the handbrake off a little bit.
Yeah.
And that Burnley haven't done that.
No, they haven't done that. But then for Company's development, I think potentially he's looking at his own development and thinking, this is the way I need to play. This is the way I'm always going to play. This is my philosophy. Do I adapt this now and sort of renege on my commitment to my own ideas, because Burnley, this is what Burnley needs right now? And you might argue, it's an argument that that's what a good manager would do, that he would find a way to keep Burnley up and then go back to the way he wants to play and try it again.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's Burnley down, and he says, all right, I'm committed to Burnley, and gets them up again, playing the same brand of football, which I'm sure he will. What does that tell you about what does that do for his development? It doesn't. He's doing what he's already achieved to do already. So if he goes down, he probably should leave.
So I can't remember who said it, but it was a really good point. It was on the Athletics Tactics podcast, I think. And the guy who said it, he said that he thinks that Vincent Kompany, it's not in his best interest in terms of his career development or career ambitions to play a different style of play. Because if you do that, then you'll never get linked to those top jobs, because to get those top jobs, you have to play a certain way, right?
Yeah.
So that's the other problem he's got. You don't know if that's true or not.
But no, it's. I think that makes complete sense. That's more or less what I just said. So, yeah. You know, he has a way to play, and he knows already that he completed the championship without even. I mean, I know there were periods, I watched the documentary, so there were periods of difficulty, But overall, they were just fucking, they flew, right?
Yeah, way too good. I mean, they spent 30 million, right?
Yeah. But that's what you need to get out, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think there's something
more than that to get up.
You know, and let's go back to Queen's Park Rangers, who could really, now's the time, guys, for God's sake. Rotherham at home.
You've got no problems. You've got no problems. You're going to win. You're going to win.
We are playing our way out of trouble. That is what I will say. Come on!
You're convincing as well with it. Jim has been saying this. I listened to Les Ferdinand on the Upfront podcast. You listened to that, yeah, Jim?
I have not.
A lot of it's about QPR, you'd be happy to know. Right. And the difficulties and struggles of what happened after Harry Redknapp basically just fucked you in the arse.
You love Simon Jordan, don't you? You love him so much.
I like him.
He's your favourite. In all football.
I could sit on his podcast and sit back and...
If a football person in football was a shark, it's Simon Jordan for you.
I think he's a good interviewer. I think he's a good interviewer. I don't think he needs to be as abrasive as he often is. I think he could kind of tone things down a little bit. But yeah, I do. I think he's good.
Obsessed. He's good. A bit obsessed. Listen to him every day. Do you listen to him every day? Do you hear Simon Jordan's voice every day?
If I'm driving in the car and it's between 10 and 1, I'm like, I'm sticking that on for sure. It's just easy, isn't it? Okay. But Jim, I'm literally just... There was a bit of content not made by you about QPR.
Right,
you're just dismissing it.
Gobble it up. No, I will do. It's interesting. I've heard a few things with him. He spoke to... Who did he speak to? He spoke to Cammy and Ben Shepherd. I was driving and it was on BBC Radio. And they had the interview there. And it was interesting what he said. He felt a bit gutted about what kind of happened. So yeah, I will check that out, definitely.
Is he still your director of football, Les Ferdinand?
No, he's gone. So is it an old episode then, maybe?
No, it was this week.
But that's the one thing I would say is Marty, I don't know if it the way that Marty's playing, so anyone who doesn't know how QPR are playing, we are trying to keep the ball as much as possible. We're playing games that are generally quite low scoring, I would say, but like incredibly low XG, often for ourselves as well as the opposition. But we are keeping the opposition's XG against us down. And it's so smart. It's so like in terms of with the quality that we have, which is minimal, he's keeping us in games of football and giving us a chance, which is interesting. But it's things like with Burnley that maybe there's a ceiling to that once you get into the Premier League that you can't do that. I don't know. But please win the game this weekend and keep on marching forward. Come on, the lads. The one thing, I don't know if anyone has this. This is one for the comments maybe for next week, right? So obviously, every game, I'm like, come on, boys. And there is a thing that in my lifetime, never, ever, I understand why it's done, but it never works out. And it might not be something that happens at Tottenham. But if I see, and I saw it on Twitter, I went, no. Kids get in for a pound day. It's one of them ones. So they'll go on the fixtures. Every year they get on the fixtures. I go, Rotherham at home. Well, that'll be the one that no one will turn up to. And they'll go, kids getting free. And over the years, we've played Cambridge. We've played Peterborough. We've played Rotherham this weekend. And it's always that one where, I don't know if you've had this as well, you go, oh, my mate's coming. My mate's, I've got a spare ticket. Do you want to come? And your mates come in and you go, you want them to show what they've got.
Do you not remember Tottenham Dortmund? We went together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But Aubameyang absolutely tore us a new one. This was good. This is good Tottenham as well. This is under Pochettino.
Whenever that happens, whenever we got this old kids getting for a quid and you got a chance to actually build the fan base, it's always an absolute stinker of a game.
It's going to happen again.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there, mate. I'll be there, of course. But we need to bloody win this one.
Look, Jim, just looking at your league form at the moment, you're on 32 points. You've got Millwall 33, Huddersfield 34, Stoke 35, Swansea 36. Mate, they're not all going to be picking up points every week, Jim. If you look at your form, easily the best in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The next 6 teams above you, your form is the best. You've lost 1 in 5, 2 wins, 2 draws. That isn't relegation form, son.
Come on. And like I say, the XG against, I think since he came in, we're like fourth best in the league or something. It's just insane, isn't it, for a team down the bottom? And importantly, in a relegation dogfight, as I was saying to my friend Craig, as a Stoke City fan, who are on their knees despite beating us last week.
Yeah.
Everyone's behind the manager. Everyone's players are clearly bought into the style of play as well. So maybe, just maybe, lads.
I saw a video of the QPR fans at Bristol City all dancing and singing and celebrating.
Come on. Just stay. Because do you know what, it's one where if you stay up with this lad, this Marty boys, he will be a Premier League manager. He will be a Premier League manager. He's really smart. He's so
look
smart.
Jim.
Not with us. I'm not saying with us. I'm just saying he will be a Premier League manager.
I know. But you said Bill would also manage England, didn't you? So
might still do that. Chelsea versus Liverpool this weekend. Wouldn't it be so fucking Chelsea?
They win it.
If they win the trophy. How can you have... That's so Chelsea... That's why I was thinking Rory's such a great example of a Chelsea fan, because he always lands on his feet even sometimes I'm thinking, I love Rory, I love him dearly. I mean, do you know what, it'd be nice if he just tripped up once in a while. No, he's like a cat, he will always land on his feet, and I've said that to his face.
Yeah, no, you know, he's
but if Chelsea win, and do you know, if Chelsea win a trophy this year and finish above Tottenham, that's so Chelsea. So Chelsea. And with Liverpool and all the injuries, they've got a massive opportunity there.
What do you mean finish above Tottenham?
Well, Rory said Chelsea will finish above Tottenham.
12 points behind us. You know, I don't know if there's some sort of misconception about Tottenham's form. We're third in the last 10 games, third in the form table. In the last 10.
I think there's an idea.
I don't know where it comes from.
You lost your last game, didn't you, I guess? Is that it?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. That's it. We lost the last game, so it's all over. Yeah, yeah. We haven't been playing that well, to be honest. But...
We're a reactionary bunch, aren't we?
Yeah, we are indeed. I mean, you could definitely see Chelsea turning up and winning. They've performed, when they've been up against better sides, they've performed well all season, not just, you know. The football... writes funny stories sometimes, doesn't it? The football gods write funny stories. And fucking, yeah, probably be another glorious weekend for supporting Spurs as Chelsea romp home against Liverpool.
They're so going to win. It's so Chelsea for them to win it. We've got a few 1 week bans. Also, the Ratcliffe interview. I've got a few quotes from it, written it down.
Yeah, go on.
Intrigued to know what people think about this. And did you watch the interview?
I didn't watch it. I read a BBC report on it.
Okay.
I listened to some bits.
I did watch it. I think he's quite to the point. I was quite impressed. Mm-hmm. So he said, so tell me if you agree with these or not. You say whatever you want on them. Right. He said, Man United should always be challenging. Agree?
Yeah, undoubtedly they should be. Without doubt, they're the biggest club in the world, or second biggest club in the world. The revenues they generate are huge. Yes, I agree. They should be. And anything other than a title challenge is an underperformance.
Okay.
Things happen, by the way.
Say that again.
Like, things happen in the season. Every team can underperform in moments and over a period of time. But generally, they need to be in... The Man United need to be purely based on their revenue, which gives you every advantage. Should be challenging for the league every year.
Okay. Guys in the chat, let's know. Just write agree or disagree in the chat. So, should Man United always be challenging? Secondly, you spoke about it there. He said it himself. He said Man United are the biggest club in the world. And he said, I'm a bit biased in his thick Manchester accent. And then
biased can you be?
And then he's in his thick Manchester accent, which he used to try and buy Chelsea a year ago. And then it's a joke. He said, at the very least, they're the most well-known.
Yeah, but did he try and buy Chelsea?
Yeah, he did it in an interview trying to buy Chelsea.
Yeah, there you go. It's not a joke. It is.
He said they're at the very least the most well-known. Now, I don't really like these debates, but it did prick my ear. Are they the most well-known club in football? And if not, who is?
I think Real Madrid and Barcelona are probably the
most well-known. I agree. Especially for, like, I get, what sort of age group are you taking the, well,
every,
the sort of stats
every
from?
Every age group, I mean, will have a Barcelona, Real Madrid. Children, you consistently see children walking around in our Barcelona and Real Madrid kits. It's definitely them. It's not, but how well known, I suppose, is directly correlated to how much money you can generate. But regardless of how you can't, that intangible of well known is difficult to articulate, but revenue isn't. And revenue is directly related to how many people have invested financially in your football club.
That'd be a great video if someone wants to do it. Ben, you're a TikToker. You should go to places and go, what, like, who's a more well known club, QPR or, as who said it there, as Henry said, Burton Albion. Should just find out who's like, or Palace, and you know clubs that are quite similar. Like, I don't know, yeah. Like, someone, there was a guy from Football Ramble talking about Premier League clubs. Really good clip yesterday, actually, and we'll have a clip on the channel this week about talking about Premier League mid-table fans and if they're spoilt. I know it's a bit hyperbolic, but it's a really interesting conversation. But he was talking about Sheffield United and Portsmouth being similar-sized clubs. In terms of being well-known, if you went to, like, Paris and then tried to find out of those two, I think that would be really interesting to me. But I think, yeah, Barcelona and Real Madrid is about the same. I went Barca in my head. I thought Barca were the most well-known club because of Messi, Ronaldinho, in the last 25 years.
I think it's Real Madrid. I think it's always Real Madrid, I think.
Because Ronaldo's got bigger numbers, isn't he, when it comes to social media?
But you know what you said, like, about just a minute ago about the middle clubs being, like, spoiled or whatever, the fans being spoiled?
We posed that, like, question.
You posed the questions. It wasn't a statement. And if you look at, I've just Googled La Liga, like, you ask the person in the street about any, like, name two teams in La Liga that are not Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, or fucking Valencia. People would struggle just to come out with two names in this country.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that, kind of coming back to, and I think I said this in the podcast, is, so the podcast is out on Spotify now if you want to check it out now, but we'll have a video up later in the week. I was saying that the thing I'm sort of struggling with, not struggling with, but I just think it just feels clearer and clearer day by day, is just these sort of sections of the football league. And that, I think the sort of barrier to entry into a new section feels really, really difficult. So the conversation went all over the place. It's really good because we had a Palace fan and a Fulham fan. And the Fulham fan's quite happy with life right now. And I got a message from my mate Craig about Stoke and the fact that they finished ninth, and then they got a bit entitled in terms of, like, well, come on, we should be going for it. Obviously West Ham.
They went and bought these flair players, didn't they? Actually, the club tried to move in that direction.
Yeah, and you kind of, like we said that earlier, though, you have to a little bit. Yeah. Because you have to soften to go and win games, right?
Bojan from Barcelona they bought.
Yeah, Jesse. Do you remember Jesse?
Yeah, Jesus.
He got run over by his fiance, I think.
Brilliant.
Yeah, crazy. So it's a very weird time, I think, for... And I think this is, again, the time of the season where we sort of talk about it a lot of the times. So those mid-table teams, I think it's always a weird experience. It's one that I sort of... So obviously, when I was a QPR fan to start with... We were in the Premier League and we finished fifth and we had Les Ferdinand. We had players that you thought, oh, we can go and do something here. And then we obviously went to the depths and came back up 20 years later and we just got relegated. We never sort of stayed in there long enough. So I've sort of got close to sort of feeling that, like, oh, what's that like? What's mid-table like? But I've never really truly experienced it.
It isn't enough time that's given to the plight of your football club, Jim, and you personally, right? And I'm thinking about you because, you know, it's just you've tasted the highs of fifth. And don't get me wrong, many clubs won't. Brighton haven't yet. Did they finish fifth last year? Maybe they did.
Yeah, finish your point.
I haven't finished insulting you yet. Yeah. So, but now it's just like this middling misery, right? Whereas, think of our good friend Callum Randall from Ball Street, who's been following Southend home and away for years, and he's nothing but he's never been rewarded. I couldn't even tell you what division they're in now. Where are they? They're in National League?
Yeah, must be the National League, I think. Yeah.
Right, and Arsenal fans are complaining about losing 1-0 in the Champions League away. And poor old Callum has gone home and away with Southend United. And what did you do that he didn't do? You simply followed the glory. You just went, what's that, Premier League trophy over there? Yeah. Basically, more or less, that's what happened, right? You liked playing them on FIFA. They had Thierry Henry when you were little. Oh, I'm an Arsenal fan. That's it. That's your gestation period of becoming an Arsenal fan. Poor old Callum has been on the rattler up and down the country, seeing Southend get battered for 15 years. And he's still fucking going. And you don't hear a peep from him.
What I find interesting is the fact that, and I know we always joke about it and stuff like that, but like I've seen us win at Wembley. I've seen us win the league. I've seen us get promoted away at Hillsborough. Like, I've had those wicked moments, right? But I think what's really tricky is that for a sort of maybe like a Palace or a Fulham or those guys, they've kind of got to the sort of glass ceiling of being in the Championship and going, ugh. They've kind of got to that point because they think they're better than it.
Yeah.
But then
there's only a finite amount of space.
But then when you go up, so like Craig said, it was so good. He was like, he said, you have to, I'll read it again. And I read it in the podcast, but it is worth reading because it's such a great comment, I think. I think I read this to you yesterday, didn't I? He said, you have to accept that 60% of the time you're going to struggle in the Premiership. And to the point that the guy in Football Ramble said, he said, your existence, like even in like going for the playoffs, there's a sort of day at the end of it that you could get into, you know, you could go to Wembley. Palace is, so there is a purgatory to that. Do you know what I mean?
How do you solve this problem in the Premier League then? Like, I can understand that. Paris, there's a purgatory to Palace. There is a purgatory.
Tottenham.
For West Ham. For Tottenham in its own way, yeah. For sure, we finish higher up consistently than Palace do. But is there any real difference if neither of us are winning things? We've both got hope for a better future, but there's no absolutely zero guarantee of it. You might argue that Tottenham, given the money that's pumped into Tottenham, that we should be more optimistic. But you're then...
On a smaller scale, you win 60% of your games as well. That's the difference.
Yeah, and it feels good in that respect. Can I add a caveat to that? Those 40% feel more painful because of the expectation of that the 60% creates. Eventually, what you're competing with is teams that are so good that any slip up, you think, oh, fuck, that's fucked then. Mm. Like, how good are Manchester City? The Manchester City that won the league last year is the best I've ever seen in the Premier League. With my own eyes, that's my opinion, right? This Arsenal side, that there are Arsenal fans, some Arsenal fans, not all of them, have been losing their minds about, is one of the best that they've ever seen. Ever seen. And probably will ever see. Right? But everybody is relatively disappointed with their experience in the league. Apart from Liverpool fans, who seem perpetually fucking happy regardless of what happens.
I guess their day's coming, isn't it? With Klopp leaving. Speed of it, so quick question for the chat. Blake Newton, question for the pod next week. Who's the most boring club in England to support?
Good question. I think in England, I can't tell you, I don't know enough about down the leagues. I think QPR's been pretty, not boring, but you've got to be quite depressed. Yeah, not boring.
That's wrong. It's not boring. It's heartbreaking. Okay.
Apologies. Yeah, and heartbreak is anything but boring, is it?
Yeah.
Anything.
Is it boring?
The most relatable way to answer this question is about Premier League.
Okay.
In terms of boring...
There was a club I went to, which is bizarre, but I went to Man City. Which is odd, isn't it? That makes sense, does it? It's a terrible take.
It's not a terrible take because you look at their parades after they've won it all, and it's just shit. There's no energy, right? Because of the way they've gone about it, because they've suddenly genuinely from if I was to speak to a Man City fan, I would take nothing away from their experiences, right? Because they had it so shit before with Manchester United. And it's actually a beautiful irony in the way that they've gone about just completely destroying Manchester City, Manchester United's place as the main club in Manchester by becoming a financial powerhouse that Manchester United always were. There was never going to be an opportunity for Manchester City to usurp United. It was just not in the script, and then it happened. So, and those fans get to feel that. And they went through years and years of being abused for being a Man City fan by Man United fans. So that's fine, but the way it went about it isn't real, it's plastic. And so winning is just, oh yeah, this is what we do now, isn't it? Because we've got the best of everything. They need Jim.
Henry says, I'm a City fan who's still got a Thomas Cook shirt in the wardrobe and I'm loving life. Fair enough.
Yeah, but this is what they're convincing themselves of. He's not. Henry's hating every minute of this. Right? He's hating it all. He hates it. He absolutely hates Pep Guardiola, he hates it all.
Right.
Do you know what they need? And we'll throw back to something we said last season. They need a bit of thick because they've had a thin for the whole. So they need they need some jeopardy brought into it because you can't. They've been consistently the best team for the last 5 years. I know Liverpool won once, but even that was really close.
I think the most boring team.
How exciting can it be thinking we're going to win every game?
Yeah, exactly. No, I get that. I think their time will come when Guardiola's gone. It can't continue like this, surely. In terms of boring, I would go with West Ham. And this is probably where the disdain comes from a little bit. And even West Ham's stupid, really, because West Ham are in the Europa League. They've won a trophy in the last 12 months.
They would even say they're quite bored.
But they're not going, there's no way they're going down. They don't really believe that they're going to kind of improve. And I think the football overall is slightly disappointing. Palace is another one, I think, it's a fair shout. Brentford's an interesting one. See where their fans, how their fans sort of continue to sort of develop as they're getting past this sort of 3-year, 4-year mark in the Premier League. Will they get to a point where like, well, come on now, we want to kind of kick on? It's the kicking on. I think the kicking on is so difficult. It's such a leap. It's the travelator of football.
Just on that, I just want to get your thoughts on this. I just read that Thomas Frank, if Alonso goes to Bayern Munich, Thomas Frank might be lined up to be the next Liverpool job. This isn't ITK or anything like that. It's just something I read on the internet, right? So it might not be, but I'm just curious. That stinks of failure, of going tits up, doesn't it? It just stinks of it. Because the charisma that Klopp has run that football club, and whether you like him or not, he has led that football club and become the stalwart of it. You just can't see sort of dorky Thomas Frank managing Liverpool.
Another conversation I had with Craig yesterday was the fact that if you're a mid-table manager, how do you get yourself... So I asked the question, we got to the answer in the end. Who was the last manager to make the jump from a sort of mid-table team to a sort of top team and do okay? And it was Poch. Yeah, it was Poch. But we struggled about for a bit. You know, you had Nuno for a second. But then after that, because I think there's a bit of a problem there. Again, it's the sort of PR and the sort of patronising of the mid-table clubs is that Thomas Frank, who is obviously a very good manager, it's kind of like, oh, you can chuck him in the hat in terms of names, but I don't want him.
It's his charisma. It's his personality. That's a major issue. And that shouldn't be an issue, but it is. Like, you look at Pep Guardiola, you look at even Arteta, as much as I loathe the man, I can't believe how much fucking positive said it. I've said about Arsenal this week, but like they have a gravitas, whereas Frank's just like, he knows his football. Don't get me wrong, Sam.
Yeah. Do you know what I think though, right? I think for you to make that jump, you have to be quite mythical. And to be quite mythical and ambiguous, you have to not really speak the language brilliantly, and therefore you don't say too much. So, and the reason I got to that was Poch sort of came in quiet, didn't really, you know, and then bounced up, right? Bielsa,
he didn't give an interview in English in Southampton. He always spoke in.
Bielsa didn't change for a while. didn't speak for a while, and I know his stock sort of dropped at the end, but at the same time, he's still quite got a good reputation. And we were thinking, like, you know, who would be a manager now that could make that jump? And someone like Iraola could be that kind of guy. And again, for the similar, like, he's got that sort of, he's got the sexiness of being Spanish. That kind of, I think it actually kind of helps. Yeah, it's a shallow sport. Yeah. It's a shallow sport.
It is. Perception is everything.
Right, 1 week bans. People are fuming in the chat with the amount of football chat. So let's move on. 1 week ban, I asked on Twitter. Shane B said, the player lying down behind the wall on a free kick.
What the fuck is that about? I've never seen it hit one. I've never once seen the draft excluder be used at all.
So there was a debate, I wouldn't say raged, took place on Twitter.
Why is it so prevalent?
I think the idea is that it allows you to make a bigger wall, doesn't it?
No, I appreciate why they do it, but right. Where did it suddenly became really fashionable?
Yeah, it did.
Like,
and so, but so Seb was saying that on Twitter that I've never seen it hit the player. And then someone came back with, well, that's kind of the point, though, is that by having the player there, people won't even shoot low.
I don't remember often the ball going low in free kicks, how often players actually utilise the jump, either.
Well, I guess that it takes away the decision, do you jump or not? The idea is that you do jump because you've got a bloke there.
Are there any stats there to back up how effective draft exclusives are?
I would say that anyone who's jotting those stats, they need a 1 week ban. Joe W with the bombshell here. People who put milk first for their cereal. Do people do that?
No one does that.
I saw a question. it was on the Sidemen video. And they asked them, is cereal a soup?
You can have cold soup. Spaccio is cold soup, isn't it?
You can also have stuff in a soup, can't you, as well?
Yeah, is it about the base, really? It's a water and milk is... I mean, milk... I hate it, but possibly. Possibly. Okay. Just while you're thinking, the first use of the tactic known as the draft excluder in professional football was Brazilian player Ricardinho, who represented Figueirense in Campeonato Serie B, this is Brazilian second tier. During a match against Palmeiras in 2013, he fell on the ground trying to block Jorge Valdivia's shot from just outside the box.
You got a bit of knowledge. Luke says cereal is a chowder.
I know what you're saying.
Is curry... Exactly. I think this is silly. I don't think it is. McSlash says, is curry a soup then? Yeah, is that a tikka masala a soup then? When does a sauce become a soup? Do you know what I mean?
But what's interesting about it is that while you firstly, initially, you would just dismiss it out of hand, when you actually think about it, there are similarities. That's what's interesting. But no, yeah.
Sweet soup. Rob Turner. Bit snobby this somehow. Cereal is neither healthy nor tasty. I don't get it. Good to have you back, Rob. Good to have you back. I love cereal, but I have. It does seem people would hate. It's got bad rep now, isn't it, cereal? So you're not allowed to eat it.
Everything is bad. Anything that gets popular, there'll be someone there telling you why it's shit.
Tear it down. Told you, didn't I?
Yeah.
This one I thought was absolutely spot on from Lillard. I'm not going to share it with you, but you'll see it on your screen pretty soon, Flav. I actually might wait for your reaction. Are you watching the stream? Can you click the stream?
You haven't shared it.
I don't know. Okay, I'll share it on here then. I would like to get your reaction and thoughts on this. Because I would like this to have a 1 week ban, because I am sick of seeing it.
Okay, I'm watching the stream.
Can you see it? See what's in front of you?
You're putting me in a difficult position. Yeah.
Am I? Right, we'll move on. I'm sick of seeing that ad, which is great advertisement.
Okay.
Ivan Tony speaking publicly.
Yes, shut the fuck up. Just get on with your football, for Christ's sake.
Shut your fucking mouth, okay? Thomas Frank. Hey, boys! Hey, boys! Everyone take a shit! Everyone take a shit! Everyone take a shit! No, everyone take a shit! Right, guys! Yeah? Ivan! Shut your fucking mouth. You are losing the club millions of pounds with every word that comes out of your mouth, okay?
Yeah, he. Do you know what's been that was mooted? And I can't. That Spurs. I know everyone's banging on about Arsenal, but it might be Tottenham that sign Ivan Toney.
You think it'll be Tottenham?
I don't think it will be, but I'm just thinking. Depends what Arsenal want to do in the transfer market. The fact that they've invested so heavily means that they are going to be restricted. Like they'll have money because of everyone gets the TV money, but they won't be able to go out and, you know, the idea that some of them are actually entertaining Mbappe. This is a person who's on £171 million a season. Is that right? Is that right? I read that and thought, that can't be right. Is that right?
I don't know.
Weird flex time. We've got two this week. Get your weird flexes. Feel free to send them to me on Twitter. It's a weird life I've got. You know, just sort of men in their 20s sending me weird videos. This is the life we chose. And this is the pod we have. Okay, so this is Sam Marshall. Hi, James. Love the videos. And Jeffin has become my go-to football pod in the last few months. Last few days, new. Must be new thumbnails. Wanted to share my weird flex. I can make a very realistic water droplet sound with my mouth. Video on the way. Here it is. Okay. Oh, just give it away there. Hang on. What do I need to do here? Oh, you've disappeared. We don't need that. Don't need that. Hang on. Oh, that's what. Oh, do I need to move you? Hang on. Moving you. We're moving you. There he is. Okay. Right. Here he is. Ready? Ready, everyone? Everyone ready? Here we go.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like water.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Happy with that?
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, it's good, yeah.
Spot on. Great. Yeah. Good. Good. Okay. Second one. Oh! I got one from Josh Rogers as well, weirdo. Where's that? See if you can find Josh's one. Josh, I think I called him a freak, actually. Josh Rogers, there he is. Oh, there's another one. Oh, here we go. Yeah, here we are. My weird flex is that I can bend the last digit of my middle finger into a right angle. I haven't met anyone else who can do this. If you can do this, make sure you get in touch with Josh. Here we go.
Yeah, that is fucking weird. Useful, though. Useful.
Yeah? Got how so?
Well, use your imagination. You're essentially getting extra length and you're getting the hook.
Yeah.
Reaching areas.
You would say that. You go, wait for it. Okay, lovely. And then one last one. Weird flex to finish this off. Let's get back. Where are we? It is from Max Morris. I think sent this to you as well. You might have already seen this one. Bit of charisma from Max as well. Enjoy. Right. Oh, sorry. He was a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about pigeons. He said he could do the best pigeon sound. from a West Midlands pigeon, though, specifically. Here it is.
I've told you I can do the best pigeon impression nationwide.
Nationwide.
Here we go.
Nationwide.
Enjoy.
That is...
Set off the dog there, didn't he?
Here we go.
Yeah, dog don't like it.
Dog didn't like it.
No, that's good. It's good. Yeah, it's good. It's impressive. Good.
Done with this bit? Finished with this bit? Yeah. No, I'm not getting it. Or is it just, good, just waning again?
I don't know what to
say. Nice. What nice. The... Good.
What good. To say? Good.
If you've got a weird flex, let me know. Otherwise, come on, you ours. Now. The time's now.
Yeah,
off you go. Off you go now. Off you go.
Got to do that.
Have a wonderful weekend. Flavs, anything everyone... you'd like to finish with?
No, everything's good in the hood. That's all good. Have a great weekend.
That's wonderful.
Good footballs.
Enjoy all the footballs.
All the footballs and treat the people in your life with much love.
Okay.
Okay.
See you later.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.